Wonderful thing to be able to sit in church with your mother. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege. And those are some of the best days of my life that I remember, even when it got a little rough. There were a couple times I did things in church I wasn't supposed to, you know, and I would get the look, and if I didn't respond to the look, there was trouble. There was trouble. But thank God for it. Amen. If you have your Bible handy, turn to Psalm 100. And if you're able to stand easily, would you stand with me as we read the Word of God? Psalm 100. It is not my intention to keep you long. I sang more in Sunday school and church than I intended today. I was just in kind of a singy mood. And so I hope that wasn't a burden for you. But I do have a few things on the table back there. Like I said, in Sunday school, we didn't really intend to be here, but I thought there might be some opportunity to get out a little bit, so I grabbed the lightest thing that we had to throw in my suitcase because I didn't want to pay extra. And so what I grabbed was our thumb drives that have our three most current CDs on them, three whole CDs plus two Christmas songs that have not made it on the Christmas CD yet, and then five little video clips of the whole family singing some of our most requested songs. And, of course, you can't watch that part in your car. You have to stick it in your smart TV or your DVD player to see those little video clips. But the rest you just stick in your car. I know people don't have CD players anymore. And so you can get those. They're $40 with all three CDs and all the extra stuff on them. And then I grabbed what I had left of our red tote bags. What I have back there is all that we have. We got new ones. And so I grabbed those, and they say on them in bright yellow letters, "Don't call me lucky, call me blessed." And there's only four or five of those, so they're only $5. Make sure you buy all of those so I don't have to take them home. Amen? We just finished our newest CD a month or so ago, just got the files sent in for duplication and all that stuff. We'll have physical CDs and thumb drives in a couple of weeks. And it will be up on our website and on iTunes and Amazon and all those things for downloading and streaming within the next week. So if you want to know when it's ready and when it's out, go to our website, mrogers.com, put your email address in there, and we will not spam you, I promise. You'll think you're not even signed up because you won't get anything from us except to let you know that it's out and it's ready. And so if you want to know as soon as it's there, so you can stream it or order it or whatever, just go to the website and get that. Psalm 100, beginning in verse number 1. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the beautiful day that you've given to us. Lord, it doesn't matter if the sun shines or the rain falls. We know that you're good, and what you give to us is exactly what we need, and we're thankful. Lord, today we're thankful for Mother's Day, thankful for mothers and their influence and impact on our lives. And God, today, as we look into your word, we ask that you would help us to see it with new eyes and use it in our hearts and lives today. And we'll thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We also started a new thing. I won't stretch it out, but there are several little things on the piano that I've done over the years that people have said, "How'd you do that? What is that?" And there's not a good way to just explain it quickly. And so what we did back in January is sit down at the piano, and we had like six cameras and lights and everything. And I went through several things. We have two of them up on our YouTube channel right now. And if you play the piano or you're interested in playing the piano or you're curious about doing some fancy little thing, that's all I'm showing you. The first one is 6 minutes long. The second one is like 7 minutes long, just how to do this fancy little introduction. And then I slow it down, show you exactly what chords they are, how to do it. And we're going to have five or six of those, as well as some that are just basic, playing four notes out of the hymnal and what to add to that to spice it up a little. And those will be coming later on this summer. So if you go to our website, you can click on that link and it'll take you there to our YouTube thing. There's no charge, nothing like that. It's all free. It's just for you. If you want to figure out how to do some of those things, you can slow it down on YouTube and watch it slow and you get to see it. Thanksgiving is something that should not be celebrated one time a year. Thanksgiving, especially for the child of God, is how we ought to live every day. Every single day. Because we have much to be thankful for. We really do. Look at this little passage again. This is a wonderful little psalm. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. It says, serve the Lord with gladness and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And yet, many times we live lives of discouragement and disappointment and defeat and anxiety and fear and all the rest. And can I tell you, if you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, God doesn't want you to live that way. He doesn't want you to live that way. He wants you to be able to serve him with gladness. Now, I know that's not every day is a glad day. Some days are hard days. But you can still serve the Lord with gladness. I'm just going to confess to you, I'm a bit of a news junkie. I watch the news. I listen to the news. The news feed comes up on my phone. Even if I don't want it, there it is. Boom, there's the news. And it's all bad. It's always bad. And it's just terrible things. What happened? What's going to happen? What didn't happen? What might happen if something should happen tomorrow? And we don't know, but it could happen. And on and on and on it goes. And you know what that does for you? It just sucks the joy right out of your life. And then you show up in church and you read Psalm 100 and God says, serve the Lord with gladness. And what you're thinking is, if you knew what I know, I wouldn't say that. You just don't know how bad it is out there. You don't know what kind of terrible things are going on, what terrible things are going to go on. I do. But you can still serve the Lord with gladness. You know how you do it? It's really quite simple. You get your focus off of the immediate circumstances and put it onto eternal truths that never change. That's how you do that. Look at verse number 3 and what it says there. Verse number 3 is a wonderful little verse. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Can I sum all that up for you in a short little statement? Now, this is a good statement. You can write this down. You can make bumper stickers out of this. You can tweet this if you don't have a life. Are you ready? God is God and you're not. Did you get that one? Some people struggle with that one. But it's true. You're not. God is God and you're not. He sees the end from the beginning. He sees everything all around. All we see is what's right in front of our face. And sometimes what's right in front of our face is a little discouraging. And we get all focused on that. And we forget there's so much more. He says, he is God, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He's God, he's in control. And then he says, we are sheep. Now, I don't know if we have any sheep herders in the congregation, but I've talked to a couple of sheep people. I've never had sheep. We had a goat once, but it ate the seat off my father's snowmobile, and that was the end of the goat. So we didn't have goats anymore. But I've talked to some sheep people, and they tell me sheep are not necessarily the brightest animals that God ever made. As a matter of fact, they're a little bit helpless. Their only real defense, if they're attacked, is to run, and they're not even great runners. You know, they're a little clumsy and they're just not, they have no defense. They're basically created to be food for everything else. That's what sheep are. And for a sheep to have a really good life, he only has to do one thing, just one thing. Follow the shepherd. He can't find food by himself. He can't get water by himself. He can't protect himself. He's got to have a shepherd. And if he follows the shepherd, the sheep can have a really great life. And God says, I'm your God, you're my sheep. You know what he's saying? There's just one thing you really need to do. You just follow me. You just follow me and pay attention to where I'm leading you, and I'm going to take care of all the rest of that stuff because you don't know how to take care of it, and you can't take care of it anyway. And then you get to verse 4, and here's the key to the whole thing. Here's how you shift your focus off of the immediate and onto the eternal. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That little word, thanksgiving. How do you get your mind off of the issues and problems of the moment and onto great eternal truths that never change? By thanking God for what he has already done. And then he gives you some great eternal truths in verse 5. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. Did you know that is always true? That is always, it doesn't matter what day you say that or what just happened when you say that. It's always true. That is an eternal truth, and you can settle your heart and mind on that. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. There's another one. His mercy is everlasting. Listen, I got saved when I was 7 years old in Vacation Bible School at Soldotna Baptist Church in Soldotna, Alaska. Just a little kid who heard and understood that he was a sinner and needed a Savior, and I trusted Christ. And you know what happened that day? God extended mercy to me. Now I'm old as dirt. I'm still saved, and you know what I still need every single day? Mercy. And you know what God said? That mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. What a wonderful blessing that is. His mercy is everlasting. You just mark it down. It's a great eternal truth. And then there's another one that follows right up on verse 5. And his truth endureth to all generations. Listen to God, the stuff God said thousands of years ago. It's just as valid and just as good and just as relevant right now as it was the day that it was written down on parchment somewhere. It's still good and it's settled forever in heaven. Thank God for that. You can build your life on it. Listen, when the rest of the world doesn't know right from wrong, they don't even know male from female. They don't know. You know where you can always go and know you'll always find truth? Right here. Always. Without exception, and it never changes. What a wonderful truth. And yet we live lives of disappointment and discouragement and defeat. How sad is that? We've got to go back to that thing of thanksgiving. And I know as soon as I say that, some of you are saying, well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. Yes, you do. You have much to be thankful for. You can be thankful, first of all, for the things God has already done. Things that are already done. Listen, there were a lot of things in your life that were already done and settled when you got out of bed this morning. And you can thank God for those. You can thank God for your family. I just lost some of you right there. I just like a dark cloud settled on you. I don't know what you're thinking. You don't know my family. You don't know my family. Oh, yeah, I do. I talked to the preacher last night. He gave me a list. He told me about your family. No, he did not. He did not. But you're going to think he did in just a minute. Because you know what I know about your family? And I do mean, yeah, I mean you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean you. Yeah, you know what I know about your family? It's a dysfunctional mess. Now you think he did tell, don't you? You know how I know it's a dysfunctional mess? That's the only kind there is. I'm serious. That's the only kind there is. You know, you'll see a family come to the church and they look fine and they're all dressed nicely and everything's neat and clean, and maybe they'll even, you know, they'll line them all up and they'll sing a song together, and you think, wow, what a great family. That's the perfect family. You know why you think that? You don't know them well enough yet. I'm serious. Go visit that perfect family when they don't expect you. Go show up at the house. Just go visit. And they'll get things in order. Oh, they're good at that. They'll get things in order. But you know how in the back of your mind, you have this little thing that tells you when it's time to go. You know what I'm saying? You go to somebody's house, and there's just something that goes off in your brain says, we should probably go now. By the way, if you don't have one of those, you should get one. Some people don't have one of those, but you really ought to get one. When that goes off and you're at the perfect family's house, stay. Just stay. And when it's screaming at you, go, stay. And when they're rushing around and they're hinting, stay. And you know what you'll see? Dysfunction just popping out everywhere. It might not be the same as your dysfunction, but it's dysfunction. I promise you it is. Because that's how they all are. Quit thinking you're going to have this perfect family and it's good. No. That's not going to work that way. Really, I'm serious. I'm dead serious now. It's not going to be that way. And if you expect your spouse to be perfect and your kids to be perfect, then you're going to be sorely disappointed. You really are. And you want to find some messed up families? Go right here. The book starts with Adam and Eve. Perfect people. In a perfect place. And you know what they do? They mess it up. I mean, if anybody could get it right, should it not have been Adam and Eve? Perfect people in a perfect place where they walk and talk with God in person twice a day. How do you mess that up? And a serpent shows up and Eve takes the fruit, and then the first thing she does is run out and give it to everybody else. There's only one other guy. Wasn't too hard to find everybody else. But she got him. And now there's sin in the world. And then they have children. And it goes downhill from there. Oh, it does. It does. It just gets worse. And then there's strife. And then there's murder. And then, I mean, it just gets ugly. And that's the first family. It doesn't get better after that. Abraham, the friend of God. Abraham, great man of faith. Took his wife Sarah down into Egypt. He was afraid, since she was so pretty, that they'd kill him and take his wife. And so he said, "This is my sister." And the king takes Sarah, and he's going to marry her. And God shows up in the middle of the night and says, "Stop it, that's a married woman." And he takes her back to Abraham and says, "Hey, what did you do here? You lied to me. What are you doing?" And there's strife. You say, well, Sarah was so spiritual that she probably never brought that up again. Really? Why don't you try that with your wife? Take her over to Seattle. Tell everybody that's your sister. Marry her off to somebody. See how that goes with you a week from now. Yeah. Oh, she's not only going to remember it that day, she's going to remember that one on her deathbed. Amen? I wish we got to see some of the stuff in the Bible that's not recorded. You know, where Abraham and Sarah are sitting around in the tent 40 years later. And, you know, all the stuff that we know about Abraham and Sarah is already done. And they're just sitting there getting old together. And Abraham says to Sarah, "I think God would have us to do this." And she looks at him and says, "And you thought God would have you tell everybody I was your sister too." And these are real people in that book. Yeah. And it gets worse. Then there's Hagar and Ishmael. I mean, oh. You want to read horrible stories? You read about Jacob and his family. What a mess that is. What a mess. I mean, we got the brothers conspiring to kill the other brother and then being real nice and just selling him into slavery. How's that? I mean, we got Jacob stealing birthrights, and we got Jacob's wife stealing idols, and we got foolishness like you would not believe. And it doesn't get better. You say, well, isn't that the family that Jesus came into the world through? Yep. Abraham, Jacob, yeah, that's the family he came into the world through. You say, well, couldn't he find a better family than that? No. Because they're all a mess. Hey, you don't want to show us everything in your family tree. There's some nuts in there. There's some squirrels in there. I mean, there's some crooked branches in your family tree. You know how I know that? Because I got a family tree as well, amen? You can be thankful for your family. They're not perfect. So, well, I would honor my mother, but she wasn't perfect. Well, of course she wasn't perfect. But how about be thankful for the wonderful things that she did do? Yeah. Oh, she might have messed up. She might have done some things that, you know, weren't ideal. But you can at least be thankful for the things she did do. I mean, you're here, amen? Yeah. She brought you into the world. Thank God for that, because a lot of people would have said, don't bother with that. Amen? Right. And she got you here. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. And if you're saved today, it's because she got you here, amen? And somewhere along the line, God preserved you, and you got to hear the gospel. And maybe your mom brought you to church every day, every Sunday, and she taught you the scriptures and insisted you learn your memory verse, and it grieved you to no end. You ought to thank God every day for that. Amen? My mother drugged me off to church every Sunday, and she drugged me off to... Listen, I got saved in Vacation Bible School because she was teaching in Vacation Bible School, and I had to go. Thank God for that. Amen? Thank God for that. Don't get online and whine and complain because your mother made you go to church. Get on your knees and thank God that your mother made you go to church. Because it's the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. You can be thankful for your family and your friends. You can be thankful for your country. You can. Oh, I know it's not perfect. It's not perfect. It's got problems and it's got issues, and it has for a long time. And it's probably got more problems and issues than we know. But everybody still wants to come to this one. Because the best place to be. It is. You wouldn't have the freedom you've got anywhere else. Thank God for it. Amen. People are not trying to sneak into Venezuela. They're not. They're trying to sneak out. They're not trying to sneak into North Korea. Nobody's trying to get into North Korea. The guards are not there to keep people out. They're to keep people in. Nobody's trying to sneak into China, unless they live in North Korea. I mean, you know, kind of relative there. You know where they want to come? Here. Why? Well, because we're still experiencing the freedoms that we gained several hundred years ago when we honored God. Listen, our founding fathers were not perfect, and they were not all genuinely born-again Christians. They weren't. But they had a respect for the Word of God and the things of God. And when they wrote out the Constitution, they referred to God, and they talked about the law of God, and they went on, and God has blessed us because of it. And the closer we stay to that, the more blessing we'll see. And the further we get away, the less blessing we will see. Listen, you can thank God you woke up here today, amen? Thank God for that. Listen, those are just physical material things that were already settled before you got here. But there are even better things, spiritual things that were done before you got here. When I got out of bed this morning, Brother Garcia, I did not stop and think, now I'd better go to church today just to make sure that I'm going to make it to heaven one day. That thought never crossed my mind. You know why? Because I already told you, when I was 7 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. That was settled forever. I don't have to wonder about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to come to church to make sure it still works. I don't come to church because I'm trying to gain the favor of God. I come to church because I love Him for what He's already done for me. Listen, that stuff was already settled. You know what was settled long before I trusted Christ as a 7-year-old boy in vacation Bible school? The means of my redemption had already been fixed. Jesus had already died on the cross and shed His blood and prepared everything that I needed when I came along as a little kid and said, that's what I want, that's what I need, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus. He had already done that thousands of years ago. Thank God for the stuff that was already done. And we get to take advantage of that. You have much to thank God for. Things that were already accomplished. But you can be thankful to God, not for those things only that are already done, but for what He's doing right now. Amen. Did you know He brought you here today on purpose? Yeah. I know, you might have come because it's Mother's Day and your mother said what she really wanted was for you to come to church with her, and you came. God brought you here on purpose. Yeah. Isn't He good? Yeah. Yeah, He knew you were coming. And He's ready for you, amen? He knew. And He's already got stuff planned for you. He's working in your life. I promise you, no matter who you are and why you're here today, God is working in your life. He is. When we start to think God is not working in our lives, it's usually because we've prayed and God has not sent us the answer we were looking for. And we think, God doesn't care about me. He answered his prayer and her prayer, and he doesn't answer mine, and he's not interested in me. Listen, that's the devil lying to you. It's the devil lying to you. You know how I know God's not done with you yet? Because you're still breathing. Yeah, you can do a quick little test. Take a couple fingers and put them right there, and you should feel like a little, you know, thing going. Now, if you do that and you don't feel anything, tell us about it after church. You made it this far. You can make it to the end. Amen. You know when God will be done with you? When that quits. Until then, God is not done working in your life. So what do I do if God doesn't answer my prayer and doesn't give me the things I think I want? Well, the first thing you do is find somebody who just got their prayers answered and rejoice with them. You know why? It'll do two wonderful things. It'll get your mind off yourself, which is always good. And then it'll remind you that God is still working. And if she got her prayer answered yesterday, I might get mine answered tomorrow. And if God did something wonderful in his life last week, he might be about to do something wonderful in my life. And it'll encourage your heart. God is at work in your life. He is. You can be thankful for what he's already done. You can be thankful for what he's doing. And then let me say, you can be thankful for what is yet to come. So, well, that's the scary part. Because it looks like there's hard stuff coming down the road. I just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow and next year and next month. I have no idea. Well, In Philippians chapter 4, you can turn there if you want, or I'll read it for you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, here's what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful verse? He said, you don't have to be careful. You don't have to be anxious and fearful and all that. You just bring your requests to God and leave them there, and he will give you peace that the world doesn't understand. You don't have to carry those burdens and those questions. You can bring them to him and leave them with him, and he will replace all of that with peace that passeth all understanding. The best way I know to describe peace that passeth understanding is a funeral. If you've ever been to the funeral of somebody who had no use for God in their life and rejected the things of God, that's a hard place to be. It really is, especially for a preacher, because you don't want to be hurtful and unkind to people, but you can't lie and say, well, old George is in heaven today. You can't say that. And so you have to be very careful and just let people know that they can know for sure where they'll be when they leave this life, and do your best to be as diplomatic as you can regarding their loss and all the rest. I've been in those situations, and I have seen people just literally almost crawl into the coffin as they went by, wailing and mourning, because they knew they would never see that person again. There's no hope. But I've been to the other kind of funeral too. I've been to the other kind, where it's much more a celebration. I mean, there's the same loss, the same missing that person, but it's not sad and depressing. And no, it's like a celebration, because you know that one who loved the Lord Jesus Christ is already in heaven, and you're almost a little bit jealous that they're there and you're not yet. I've been in those situations and sung songs and watched a mother sitting on the second row with tears rolling down her face while her teenage son's body is laying there, and yet her hands stuck up in praise to God, rejoicing over the goodness of God. It's something the world doesn't understand. That's what God can give you. God can give you that kind of peace. You say, well, there's trouble coming down the road, and I was diagnosed with this, and that's bad. God has peace for you that passeth all understanding. Doesn't matter what comes, God has peace that passeth all understanding. And then when all of this is over, the born-again child of God gets heaven. I told you in Sunday school, I'm so glad heaven is not just something we talk about that makes us feel better about dying. Heaven's real. As a matter of fact, if I can say it this way, heaven's more real than this is. This is not going to last forever. That is. And this is just temporary. And one day, for the one who knows Christ as Savior, they get to see Jesus face to face, and all this stuff will be just a memory, if at all. My mother went to heaven, in April. It's been two years, I guess. 3 years now. She was 93. She had the last few years of her life, she'd been struggling with dementia, and that's a difficult thing, as they begin to forget things and forget people, and it's a little awkward. You take what the Lord gives you, and you make the best of those things. And we were going up to Alaska to see her, and she was still living on her own at that time. Shortly after that, she went into assisted living, but we went to see her, and And she was so excited that we were there and we were going to be spending a whole week and a half there. And she couldn't hardly contain herself. She was so thrilled that we were there. And we were sitting around the house, and normally she'd go to bed by 8 o'clock every night. She was up till midnight every night because she just wanted to be up in the room where we were. And she was just in great spirits. And we were sitting around that first night, and of course it was about 10 o'clock at night, but it was in Alaska, and it was June, and so the sun is shining in the windows. And we're all sitting there, and Mom was in her big chair, and I was on a little love seat right next to the chair, and then Liz was over here, and Hope and David were over on the other side of the room. And my wife, she got a joke on her phone. Her phone is not saved. It gets these jokes, and so she read the joke to us, and it was not a great joke. It was not. It was a science farming joke, and so we did the obligatory chuckle. You know how that is? Somebody tells you a joke, and that's what you do. And so she read the joke, and it wasn't that good, but you want to know what the joke is, don't you? I can tell. Okay. All right. Here's the joke. Why do cows have hooves instead of feet? Well, it's because they lactose. I told you. I warned you ahead of time. She read the joke, and Mom thought it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. I mean, she's laughing. She was not an outwardly expressive person. She's in the chair shaking. She's shaking, tears running out of her eyes, because she thought this was so funny. And so she finally calmed down. Liz read it again, set her off again. And she's loving it. And then she started fishing around on the table next to her chair. We said, Mom, what are you looking for? She said, I can't find my phone numbers. We said, well, who do you want to call? Now, remember, I'm sitting right next to her. She said, I want to call Mark, that's me, and tell him the joke. That was the first time that she'd ever referred to me as not being there when I was there. And so that was a little odd. And she said, I want to call him and tell him the joke. And my wife's such a blessing. She said, well, I have his number. She said, can I have it? And she said, well, of course. So she read the number. Mom wrote it down in her beautiful handwriting. And then she picked up the house phone and she called me. I had my phone right there on my belt. She called me and the phone rang and I picked it up and I grabbed a pillow and picked it up so she couldn't see that I was talking to her. I didn't want to confuse things any more than they already were. She called me and she said, I said, hello. She said, yeah. She said, Mark and Liz are here. And... And Liz just told me a joke, and I want to tell you the joke. And then she laughed, and she said, but I can't remember it. And so my wife, she's a blessing. She's on the other side of the room. She said, well, I'll tell you the joke again. So she told her the joke again. Mom told me the joke on the phone, and I laughed. And then we talked for a few minutes, because when you got your mom on the phone, you don't just hang up. We talked for a little bit about what's going on during the day. Finally, we said goodbye, hung up, and then my mother said, I think there were people there because I heard voices in the background. And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. You say, oh, that's terrible. That's just all. No, that was wonderful. Listen, her joy was real. Her laughter was real. She was a little confused, but it was all real. And we grabbed onto every one of those moments God gave us because we didn't get enough of those. And when her funeral came, we had us a celebration. You know why? Because until the day she died, a lot of things she couldn't remember. You know what she could remember? She could remember when she got saved. She could tell you how to get from her house to the church and how many blocks it was and the names of the streets and the pastor's name and the Sunday school teacher's name that led her to the Lord. She could tell you all of that until the day she went to heaven. My kids are the youngest of all of her grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. And so they never got to know Grandma as doing the things that she did. I mean, she did stuff. We went down to the shore in Alaska, grew up there. Went down, we'd dig clams. She'd dig clams and come home, make clam chowder. She'd go try to ride the motorcycle in the yard. I remember the day she rode it down the yard and then tipped over right on the side. It was a blessing. She'd ride snowmobiles all winter long. We'd get on the snowmobiles and we'd go for hours. We'd go out in the mountains and everywhere. And that's what she did all my life. She did all that stuff. And all my kids ever got to see was Grandma sits in a chair and likes to eat McDonald's hamburgers. But can I tell you, because they know Christ as Savior, they're going to get to see her again one day. And she is going to be so much better then than she was here. So much better. Oh, we wouldn't wish her back for anything in the world. Heaven is real. She was ready to go. Are you? She could tell you. She could tell you where she was when she trusted Christ as Savior. Do you remember where you were? You know, I don't know what the date was when I got saved. I have no idea. I was a little kid. You don't pay attention to that stuff when you're a little kid. But I know where I was. I know what happened that day. I remember sitting there when that lady took the Bible and she showed me I was a sinner and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You better remember that day. If you don't, then you should probably be a little nervous about what's coming down the road. I've found people who are afraid of what comes next usually can't go back to that day and say, I know for sure my sins are forgiven and I'm going to heaven one day. If that's you, boy, today would be a good day to settle that. Amen. That would be a good day, especially if your mother's already in heaven. Listen, if your mom's already in heaven, I guarantee you, you know what would thrill her more than anything in all this world is to know that you're coming too. I promise you, that would be the greatest gift you could ever give. You say, well, you know, I wasn't the best mother and I didn't do everything right. Well, hey, that's okay. We all give it our best shot. You just try to honor God from here on out and be the best example you can be for your kids and your grandkids. I know some people have rough backgrounds and rough lives, but it doesn't have to stay that way. You can go on and influence them for God and for good. It's the greatest thing any mother could ever do is influence her children and grandchildren. I remember coming home at night and walking down the stairs and going to my room, and Mom's light would be on next to her bed. You know what she'd be doing? Reading her Bible. I have that Bible now sitting in my office, opened up, because that's how I always saw that Bible, was opened up, sitting on her lap while she was reading it, waiting for me to get home. Dad would fall asleep. Mom would read her Bible and wait, because that's just what moms do. Thank God for a good mother. Amen? Amen? Some of us are very, very privileged. Very, very privileged. And again, the best thing you could do on Mother's Day is know for sure you're going to go to heaven. Because there's probably a mom somewhere praying that. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we can serve you with gladness. If we just stop and remember all the wonderful things that you have done and you are doing and you will do. Lord, thank you for the promise of heaven. Thank you that your mercy endures forever. Thank you that you're always good. God, today you're so good that if there's somebody here who does not know Christ as Savior, that you offer the free gift of salvation. Because the work's already done. It's already finished. Jesus has already died on the cross and shed his blood and now offers the free gift. Lord, what a wonderful Mother's Day gift that would be. God, if there's somebody like that here today who doesn't know Christ, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.